الحمد لله رب العالمين العاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So continuing with Sifat al-Salah على ضوء ما ورد عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, a description of the prayer in accordance to what is established from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we reached al-istiftah, the opening supplication of the prayer. We reached al-istiftah, the opening supplication of the prayer. And the Shaykh, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, ثم يستفتح بما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقول. Then the person, he opens the prayer with what has been mentioned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ, this word, ثُمَّ يُفِيد التَّرْتِيب. ثُمَّ indicates that there's an order. Then, the individual, the one who is praying, يَسْتَفْتِحُ بِمَا جَاءَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَيَقُولُ. He opens the prayer with what has been mentioned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ, then indicates after what? What's the Shaykh referring to? Who can tell me? Alhamdulillah, this is just muraja'ah, revision. Na'am. Thumma indicates after what? Na'am, after the opening takbir. After the opening takbir. So after the opening takbir, thumma yastaftihu bima ja'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person, the one who is praying, he opens the prayer with what has been established from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh, he lists a number of opening supplications. The first, alhamdulillah, we mentioned in the previous lesson, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. اللهم نقني من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم اغسل خطاياي بالماء والثلج والبرد. O Allah, distance me from my sins, just as you have distanced the east from the west. O Allah, purify me of my sins, as a white garment is purified of dirt. O Allah, cleanse me of my sins with snow, water, and hail. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, رواه البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. Al-Bukhari, he narrated it from the companion Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه بهذا اللفظ, with this wording. ومسلم بلفظ, and Muslim with the wording, نقني من خطاياي واغسلني من خطاياي بالثلج والماء والبرد. So alhamdulillah, the meaning is the same, but the wording is slightly different. So the Shaykh, he said, فَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ قَالْ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهِ, he said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا كَبَّرَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ سَكَتَ هُنَيَّةً قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقْرَعَ. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا كَبَّرَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ سَكَتَ هُنَيَّةً قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقْرَعَ. That Bukhari, he narrated from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the opening takbir for the prayer, he would be silent for a moment before reciting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be silent for a moment, قبل أن يقرأ, before he would recite. وهذا في الصلاة الجهرية, and this was in the loud prayer. وكان لا يمكن للصحابة radiallahu anhum أن يدعوا صغيرة أو كبيرة يحتاجون إلى فهمها إلا سألوا عنها. And it was not possible for the companions to leave any matter, whether small or big, that they required or they needed to understand, except that they would ask about it. Except that they would ask about it. فَقُلْتُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ, he said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِأَبِي وَأَنْتَ وَأُمِّي أَرَأَيْتَ سُكُوتَكَ بَيْنَ التَّكْبِيرُ وَالْقِرَاءَةِ مَا تَقُولُ. So Abu Huraira, he said, O Messenger of Allah, may my father and my mother be ransomed for you. you remain silent between the takbir and the recitation, what do you say? قال the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he responded, أقول, I say, اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب, the dua. وهذا الصح حديث ورد في ذلك ومع ذلك فأكثر المسلمين اليوم لا يعلمون عن هذا الاستفتاح ولا يستفتحون به. الشيخ ابن عثيمين said, this is the most authentic hadith mentioned in this regard, with regards to al-istiftah, the opening supplication of the prayer. Despite this fact, the majority of Muslims today do not know about this opening supplication and they do not open up their prayer with it. So the Shaykh said, هذا أصح حديث ورد في ذلك. This is the most authentic hadith mentioned in this regard with regards to the opening supplication, dua al-istiftah. He said, وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ, despite that, فَأَكْثَرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْيَوْمِ, the majority of the Muslims today, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَا هَذَا الْإِسْتِفْتَاحِ, they do not know, they are not aware of this opening supplication. وَلَا يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ بِهِ, and they do not open their prayer with this dua. Before we go on to mention some of the explanation of the Shaykh, رحمه الله تعالى, I ask the brothers to memorize it. مَنْ حَفِدَهُ, who's memorized it? We start here. عندك تفضل لنا عبد الرحيم.
اللهم
اغسلني
من خطاياي كما بالماء
والثلج والبرد. نعم تفضل عبد الولي تفضل. أحسن جيد تفضل. نعم أحسن تفضل.
اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب, اللهم نقني من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس, اللهم اغسلني من الخطايا بالماء والثلج والبرد.
نعم who's next to you?
He's hiding.
تفضل whoever's next to you.
اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب, اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما ينقي الثوب ابيض من الدنس, اللهم اغسلني من خطاياي بالثلج والماء والبرد.
طيب نعم اللهم اغسلني. نعم طيب احسن جيد. Next to you. نعم اخوان, when we say this, either two ways, either you say من خطاياي or من الخطايا, don't gather between the both of them. Why? Because when you say اللهم نقني من خطاياي, you're saying, oh Allah, cleanse me of my sins, خطاياي. Or you can say, as the Shaykh he mentioned, من الخطايا, from sins. But you can't gather between the alif and the lam and the ya, نعم المتكلم. You have to choose one of them. Is that clear to everyone?
What about the part
of Maghrib? Abdurrahim, he asked a good question. He said, well, what about when you say بين المشرق والمغرب? Can you say بين المشرق والمغرب? Here, in reality, بين المشرق والمغرب, it depends where you stop. بين is a ظرف. It makes the word that comes after it because of إضافة مجرور. So if you continue to say read, you would say بين المشرق والمغرب. But if you said بين المشرق والمغرب, that would be correct as well. Because in reality, the word is majroor. But however, if you were to pause and stop, then you would say, well, maghrib. Naam. Anyone else? Two more, ikhwan, and then we'll go on. From the younger brothers as well. Now, let me, yeah, you and then the brother, the younger brother behind you. Fadda, naam. MashaAllah. Jee. Next, the naam. Indak. Yes. Stand up, inshallah.
Thank you.
MashaAllah, gee. How old are you? 9. Malik, how old are you? 12. Look, Ikhwan, Alhamdulillah. Madam, MashaAllah. Our younger brothers, MashaAllah, 9, 12, MashaAllah, ni'mah, min ni'mah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wa ha'ula, MashaAllah, those our younger brothers, may Allah Azza wa Jal make them, inshaAllah, people of knowledge and people of action. Naam, min talameed, akhina Mustafa, from the students of our brother Mustafa in the school of the masjid. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless them and increase them. Showing the importance and the benefits of Ikhwan have, mada attending, alhamdulillah, and getting and a proper Islamic education. Jazakumullah khairan. Abu Bakr, faddal.
اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما ينقى الثوب الابيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلني من خطاياي بالماء والثلج والبرد.
ما شاء الله جميل. Jazakumullah khairan. Allah Azza wa Jalla reward all the brothers and likewise the sisters that memorize this dua. As we will see, alhamdulillah, it contains many benefits. And even the brothers who or the sisters who are following online, or anyone who is following online, likewise, alhamdulillah, they can learn these supplications along with us, alhamdulillah. The reason we're here is to learn, no doubt, beneficial knowledge and to implement what we learn. So Shaykh Ibn Al-Thaymeen, he said, explaining this dua, Ikhwan, so that alhamdulillah we can understand it when we say it and the meaning of it. He said, Al-Nabiyyu alayhi salatu was salam yakulu hadha dua. He said the Prophet ﷺ would say this supplication and Allah Azza wa Jal already had forgiven his past and future sins. Allah Azza wa Jal had already forgiven him for his past and his future sins. And even with this, the Prophet ﷺ, whose previous sins were forgiven and future sins were forgiven, he would say in the opening of the prayer, the opening dua, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Oh Allah, distance me from my sins like you distance the east from the west. Allahumma naqini min khatayaya. Oh Allah, cleanse me of my sins. And the Shaykh would explain this, the meaning of this. He said, "Ay fala aqrubuha wa la ahummu hawlaha." Meaning what? Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya. And this is another benefit of this, Ikhwan, that there's no tawfiq. There's no success except with Allah Azza wa Jal. There is nothing easy unless Allah makes it easy. Staying away from sins is something that Allah Azza wa Jal grants the servant tawfiq to stay away from sins. So the meaning of that, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, oh Allah, distance me. Yani place a distance, a far distance between me and my sins, like you have distance, place distance between the east and the west, meaning so that I do not go near them and I do not come close to its boundaries. I do not even come near to them. So I do not come near to them, nor do I come close to its boundaries. فَتَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُجَنِّبَكَ الْخَطَايَا. So you ask Allah in this part of the dua to distance you from sins. وَأَنْ يُبْعِدَهَا عَنْكَ حَتَّى لَا تُبَاشِرُهَا وَتَقَعُ فِيهَا. And you ask Allah to distance them from you so that you do not fall into them and so that you do not commit them. So you understand these two parts. You ask Allah Azza wa Jal, تَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُجَنِّبَكَ. You ask Allah to distance you from the sins. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya. Oh Allah, distance me or place a distance, a far distance between me and my sins. So you're asking Allah to distance you from sins. The second part, kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Likewise, wa an yub'idaha anka. And you're asking Allah to distance these sins and take them far away from you. You see the two of them? To take these sins far away from you so that you do not commit them nor fall into them. وَهَذَا الدُّعَاءَ عَنِ الشَّيْءِ قَبْلَ وَقُوعِهِ. So you're asking Allah for something before it happens. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jal for something before it happens. Oh Allah, keep me away from these sins, far away from them, and keep these sins far away from me. Because a person, alhamdulillah, he may be salim, safe from a sin, but he may have a trial, a fitna with a particular sin. And if he comes into contact with that sin, it may be a fitna for him. But still in that dua, you ask Allah to keep those sins away from you. That's why, ikhwan, no doubt, in order for us to actualize our repentance, our tawbah, no, part of that, no doubt, is to stay away from those sins and the avenues that lead to those sins. لَأَنَّ الشَّيْءِ إِذَا كَانَ بَعِيدًا عَنْكَ لَمْ يَقَعْ مِنْكَ. Because if something is far from you, then it will not transpire from you. If something is distant from you, it will not occur from you. Something is far, far away. Something is far away from you, then inshallah ta'ala you will not fall into it. That's why the Muslim stays away from places of ma'asi, where Allah Azza wa Jalla is disobeyed. Nightclubs, places of fahisha. What does somebody expect to happen when they go to that place? Music, all types of ma'asi, disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So as the Shaykh, he said, لَأَنَّ شَيْءَ كَانَ بَعِيدًا عَنْكَ لَمْ يَقَعْ مِنْكَ. If something is far from you, inshallah it will not occur from you. That is why, alhamdulillah, the one who fears for their religion stays away from anything that will lead them to that which is detrimental for their dunya or their akhirah. Then the Shaykh said, فَإِنْ وَقَعَ. And then, if somebody falls into sin, is it over? No, it's not over. If somebody falls into sin, so Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Oh Allah, distance me from my sins like you have placed distance between the east and the west. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for something before it happens, to keep you away from sin and to keep sins away from you. But then if a person falls into sins, and again, kullu bani adam khata'un. Some of the ulama, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, they declare that hadith to be sound. Na'am. All of the sons of Adam will err, they will fall into sin. The best of those who sin are those who repent. So look, فَإِنْ وَقَعَ, if a person falls into sin, فَاللَّهُمَ نَقِّنِي مِنْهُ. Oh Allah, cleanse me from these sins, كَمَا يُنَقَّ الثَّوْبَ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ. Like the white garments is cleansed of its dirt. Meaning, يعني أزله عني واجعلني نقيا من. Meaning what? Remove these sins from me and cleanse me of them. Cleanse me of these sins. ثم ضرب مثلا لهذه الإزالة بقولي. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave an example for the removal of these sins. He said what? كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. Just like a white garment is cleansed of its dirt. واختار الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الثوب الأبيض لأن ظهور الدنس في البياض أظهر وأبين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he chose in this example the white garment because the appearance of dirt on white is much more blatant and apparent than, for example, black. If you had black on, for example, a dark thobe, it's more difficult to see. But on a white though, it is clear and it would be apparent. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, لكن الأسود أو الأحمر لا يظهر فيه أثر الوسخ إلا إذا كان وسخا ثقيلا جدا. So the Shaykh, he said, Ibn Uthaymeen, the signs of dirt would not appear on a black or red garment unless it was severe and heavy dirt. So again, ikhwan, look. A person at the first part of the dua, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, كَمَا بَعَدْتَ بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to keep sins away from you and you away from sins. In the second part, if the person was to fall into sins, then he asks Allah Azza wa Jal to cleanse him of these sins like a white garment is cleansed of dirt. And then, after cleansing, after التَنْقِيَة, and this comes from the word نَقِّنِي, التَنْقِيَة, نَقَّ يُنَقِّي, تَنْقِيَة. After التنقية, after being cleansed of these sins, قَدْ يَكُونَ فِي بَقِيَّةُ أَثَرُ. There still may remain some traces. Because it's possible, say for example, you had a white garment, you removed the dirt, there may remain some traces. Then there comes, اللَّهُمَ اغْسِلْنِي. Oh Allah, wash these sins from me. Ikhwan, I'm going to ask a question, I'm going to see if any of you get it. Why did, oh Allah, wash me of these sins with water, snow and hail. Why water, snow and hail without looking at the book? Why water, snow, and hail? Because wouldn't you expect that hot water would be more effective in removing dirt from a white garment? Father, the brother at the back. Did you read it in the book?
No.
Father, Naam.
Because it's pure, from the earth.
Ismail, inshallah, pay attention. The Sheikh, Naam, al-jawab mawjood. Al-Sheikh ibn al-Thaymin answers this question, ikhwan. It's just something to think of. So he said, فَيَزُولُ بِذَٰلِكَ الْأَثَرُ Naam, so you say, oh Allah, cleanse me of these sins. Then after, like a white garment is cleansed of dirt. Then you say, after being cleansed, there may still remain some traces. So you say, Allahumma ighsilni, oh Allah, wash me of these sins. Wash these, yani wash me of these sins. فَيَزُولُ بِذَٰلِكَ الْأَثَرُ And due to this, all traces of these sins will be removed. لو وقع مثلا على ثوبك The Shaykh said, if for example dirt was to fall upon your clothing and you were to scratch it off with your nails so that it would become clean. نقول هذه تنقية We would say, this is, you cleansed the garment. So everyone understand that part? If you had dirt on your thobe, there was dirt and you scratched off the dirt off the thobe, you would say that's tanqiyah. You've removed it with your nail, you've cleansed your garment. Meaning you've removed the dirt. بعد ذلك يأتي دور الغسل. After that, now is the place of washing. To wash away all traces of that dirt. نعم تفضل يا شيخ يحيى.
Because of snow, ice and water are pure?
No doubt they're pure, but hot water is pure as well. And purifying. سيأتي إن شاء الله. ولذلك إذا كانت النجاسة على الثوب فأزلها أولا حتى ينقى الثوب منها ثم بعد ذلك اغسلها. So the Sheikh said, if you had some najasa impurity upon your garment, remove the impurity firstly, cleanse the thawb of it, and then after that you wash it. قد تقول Then he said, a person may say, الماء لا شك أنه يطهر. And again, this is what I asked you, the question. Somebody may say, الماء لا شك أنه يطهر. Water is pure and it's purifying. What's the difference, Ikhwan? Who can remind me? What's the difference? Why do we say الماء is pure and purifying? لماذا? تفضل, نعم.
Because it's pure within itself and it purifies them.
Meaning what?
Water itself is pure.
Yes.
Like it's not tainted with anything.
طيب. And what else? Naam, it's pure in itself, meaning it's not impure. But also it purifies, meaning you can use water to make wudu, right? You can use water to make ghusl. So it's tahir fi nafsi, it's pure in itself and it's purifying. Coffee, what about coffee? Shaykh Yahya?
Nah,
la. La what?
No.
No what?
The water is mixed with stuff.
Okay, but I'm saying, but is it pure?
No.
Fadl, the brother with the glasses. Masmuk, what's your name?
Tawfiq.
Tawfiq, Naam.
It's pure, but it's not pure.
Ahsant, it's pure, Sheikh. Meaning it's not impure. If you've got coffee on your thobe, you don't say, oh, I can't pray in my thobe because I have coffee on it. I have to remove it. You can pray. But at the same time, you can't make wudu with coffee. Or ghusl with coffee. They put you in a, you know, in an institute for... Naam. So everyone understand that? So the Sheikh said, قَدْ تَقُونَ الماء لا شك أنه يطهر. Water, no doubt, is purifying. لكن المعروف أن الماء الحار أبلغ في التنظيف وأشد إزالة للوسخ. But it's known that hot water is more effective in removing dirt and for cleaning. So لأن الماء الحار, because hot water يطهر أكثر من الماء البارد because hot water it purifies more than cold water. عندما نغسل الثوب بالصابون when we want to wash our garments with soap نسخن الماء we heat the water الحمد لله washing machines do this for us الحمد لله ولله الحمد and we wash the garments. فلماذا قال why did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say in this dua بالماء والثلج والبرد with water, snow, and hail.
Because it's all forms of water or liquid?
No doubt, they're all forms of water. So all of these things, now, all of them in themselves, yet they are pure and they're purifying. If somebody found hail and they, you know, made wudu with the hail, when, you know, became water, alhamdulillah, yes. Or, for example, ice melted or snow melted, it would be permissible if that, you know, that's all that they could find. The Shaykh answers, ikhwan, قرأته متأكد Ibn al-Qayyim, and this is the benefit, ikhwan, of studying the works of the ulama. The ulama, the scholars, يسهلون لنا العلوم. They make easy for us the various issues of the religion, because some of these fawaid, the benefits, the only way you would come across them if you were to be muttali', to read various books of the scholars of Islam. And many people, they don't have the time for that. Illa qaleel, illa man wafaqahu Allah li dhalik. You see, Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen, he said, نقول, the answer here, قال العلماء, the scholars, they say, لأنه يسأل الله أن يطهره من الذنوب. The scholars, they mention, they say, this is because the servant is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify them from sins. This is because the servant is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to purify themselves from sins. Yaqul, so he says, اغسلني من خطاياي, wash me of my sins. يعني wash me of my sins. Meaning what? وليس هذا من أوصاف حسية. This is not referring to an actual dirt that is visible. Sins. But can you see dark, for example, a spot on a thobe? It's not like dirt, wasakh. Na'am, it's not like wasakh that you see on someone's garment. So the Shaykh is saying, sins laysa min awsaf hissiyah. It's not a visible dirt. وَالْظَنُوْ وَالْخَطَايَا عُقُوبَتُهَا النَّارِ. Sins and disobedience, the punishment is fire. For sins and disobedience, the punishment is fire. وَالنَّارُ وَحَارَ, and fire, is it hot or cold?
Hot.
It's hot. وَالْمُنَاسِبْ, how do you put out something that's hot?
Cold.
With something cold. So we understand why? Allahu Akbar, look at the wisdom in that. We all understand it? Or should I repeat it, ikhwan?
No.
Repeat it. Shaykh Yahya, you said repeat it?
No.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Naam. I'll repeat it. Sadhkuru, inshaAllah. So Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen, he said that the servant is asking Allah to purify him or her of sins. And no doubt, ikhwan, that is why the servant is humble. And man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever humbles themselves for Allah, Allah will raise them. اغسلني من خطاياي, wash me of my sins. So the Shaykh, he said, sins وليس من أوساخ حسية. This is not a visible, apparent dirt. It is not a physical dirt. والذنوب والخطايا عقوبتها النار. The punishment for sins and disobedience to Allah تبارك وتعالى. The punishment for sins and disobedience is the fire. And the fire, حارة, it is hot. والمناسب أن يزال الشيء بضده. It is appropriate for something to be removed by its opposite. فناسب والذي يناسب مقابلة النار الحارة هو الثلج والبرد. That which is appropriate in order to counter the effects of what fire is hail and snow. Is that clear to everyone? Is hail and snow. فناسب أن يكون ما يزيل هذه الخطايا باردا حتى يزول أثر العذاب الكلية. So the Shaykh, he said, therefore, it is appropriate that the removal of these sins, the cleansing of these sins, is with something cold, so that the effect, the traces of this punishment is removed altogether, meaning absolutely. ولهذا قال, and that is why he said, بالماء والثلج والبرد, with water, hail and snow. هذه هي الحكمة. This is the wisdom. And Ikhwan Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions this from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in Ighathat al-Lahfan, volume 1, page 57. So again, this faida, even though, as I said, Shaykh Ibn al-Uthaymeen, قال العلماء, the scholars, they mention, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned something similar. And naam, that's the benefit of relying upon the scholars, benefiting from the scholars. Naam, la nuqallid al-ulama, we don't blind follow them. وَلَا نَتَعَصَّبْ لَهُمْ, and we do not rigidly stick to them. لَكِنْ نَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ عِلْمِهِمْ, but we benefit from them and their knowledge. وَتَوْجِهَاتِهِمْ, no doubt. Because they make things easy. Where something may be difficult, the path may be long. Alhamdulillah, يُسَهِلْ لَكَ, he gives you these benefits in a daqiqa or daqiqatayn, in 1 or 2 minutes. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, and ikhwan, I encourage all of the brothers and the sisters, young and old, na'am, to learn this dua. Learn this dua. So alhamdulillah, one time you can say this. The next time you can say the next dua. And then another time you say another dua. Why? Implementing all of that which is found in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but which is no doubt reviving the sunnah. But look, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, what he said next, فَصَارَ هَذِ الْإِسْتِفْتَاحِ جَامِعًا لِلْبُعْدِ عَنِ الدَّمْ قَبْلُ وَقُوعِهِ وَلِلْتَنْقِيَةِ مِنْهُ بَعْدُ وَقُوعِهِ وَلِإِزَالَةِ أَثَرِهِ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ بِغَسْلِهِ بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ. He said, so therefore, this opening supplication comprises of distancing from sins. The individual is asking Allah to distance him from sins before their occurrence, cleansing them after they occur, and removal of all traces absolutely by washing with water, snow and hail. So look, ikhwan, now memorize this, barakallahu feekum, this dua. And as I mentioned, if you have difficulty memorizing it, look, technology, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with technology, but again, it's like anything, it can be a double-edged sword. If you utilize it to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, no doubt it's ni'ma min ni'millahi azza wa jal. But if a person just utilizes technology to disobey Allah azza wa jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a calamity. It's like the tongue. No doubt the tongue is a ni'ma min ni'millah. The tongue is a blessing from the blessings of Allah azza wa jal. We are able through the tongue to express ourselves, to make the dhikr of Allah, to recite the Quran, ila akhirihi. So many manafi' benefits. However, if a person misuses their tongue, disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, backbiting, slander, major sins, qadh, ila akhirihi, the tongue, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, it's possible for the servant to speak a kalima, la yulqi laha balan, he doesn't pay any attention to it, and it causes him to fall into the hellfire. May Allah protect us from it.
Amen.
So ikhwan, on the phones that we have, the fortress of the believer, the audio is there, and the Arabic is there. Don't rely upon the transliteration. And that's a mistake. Learning Arabic using transliteration is one of the worst things that people can do. Especially when learning to recite the Quran. Some people, they never recover from it. Some people, they never recover from that. Because they've learned just from transliteration, they find it very difficult to make tasheer, to correct the makharij, the way they pronounce their letters. So when you pray behind them, you're listening to them recite, it's like they're reciting in English. And that's why the ulama, they say, it's not allowed for somebody to learn the Quran relying upon transliteration. That's the lazy way. Even they sell some of the books now that they sell to learn Juz Amma or Juz Tabarak, they have written in them the transliteration in English letters. That can lead a person to distort what is found in the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and totally change yuhil al-ma'na, the meaning. Wal-iyadu billah. The correct way, if we want to learn Quran, go to the masjid, alhamdulillah, sit with a brother or sit with a sister that are able, and start what first? With makharij al-huruf, the pronunciation of the letters. After the pronunciation of the letters, recite the surah to somebody that they can listen, and they correct the recitation. But as-shahid ikhwan, the apps that we have on the phone, alhamdulillah, we can hear it, we can read it. فَلَا حَاجَ إِلَى هَذِي, is no need for the transliteration, barakallahu feekum. And if you have a problem with that, ask one of the brothers that you see, who has the ability, one of the teachers in the masjid, and say to them, أخي, I want to learn, or sister, I want to learn the opening dua Can you sit down and teach it to me? There's no haya with knowledge. There's no shame with ilm. There's no shame. Pretending and behaving macho and pretending like you know something, that's tariq. يعني لا يفلح هذا الذي يسلك هذا الطريق. The one who walks upon that path, he won't be successful. There's no haya in knowledge. Somebody doesn't know something, he says, أخي أفدني. Sister doesn't know something, she says, sister, benefit me. There's nothing wrong with that. So the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, ثانيا, secondly, the second opening supplication that he mentions is the saying, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. How perfect you are, O Allah, and I praise you. Blessed be your name, and your majesty is exalted, and none has the right to be worshipped except you. So again, the second supplication from the opening supplications, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. How perfect you are, O Allah, I praise you, blessed be your name, your majesty is exalted, and none has the right to be worshipped except you. And again, alhamdulillah, ikhwan, you see that this is a bit shorter than what? The first one. Na'am. And the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدَ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَفِي إِسْنَادِهِ مَقَالٍ وَقَدْ صَحَّهُ الْحَاكِمُ وَقَالَ ابْنُ حَجَرٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ رِجَالُ إِسْنَادِ ثِقَاتٍ لَكِنْ فِيهِ انْقِطَاعٌ. This hadith, Abu Dawud reported it from Aisha, and in his chain there is some speech concerning it. Al-Hakim authenticated it, and Ibn Hajar, he said, the men of his chain are authentic, but there is a breakage in the chain. However, Muslim also reported it. وَرَاهُ مُسْلِمًا عُمَرْ أَقَنْ عُمَرْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ. From his statement, from his saying, meaning from the saying of Umar, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. وَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَجْهَرُ بِهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمُهُ النَّاسِ. And Umar, he would say it out loud in the prayer so that the people, they could learn it from him. كَمَا كَانَ إِبْنُ عَبَّاسِ. Just like Ibn Abbas, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, يَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةِ فِي صَلَاةِ الْجَنَازَةِ جَهْرًا لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهَا سُنَّةٌ. Just like Ibn Abbas, he would recite al-Fatiha in the Salat al-Janaza out loud so that the people, they could know it is a sunnah. Meaning, the sunnah is what? To recite it silently. But Ibn Abbas used to say it out loud. Why? So that the people, they could learn it. Na'am. And so that they could know it was a sunnah. So that they could know it was a sunnah. And then the Shaykh, look what the Shaykh says next, ikhwan. He said, يقولون هذا ولكن لا يفهم معناه إلا القليل. He said, all of the people, majority of the people, they say this opening dua. He said, but none understands its meaning except for few of them. Allahu Akbar. And this is the thing, ikhwan, when we learn dua, as mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim and other than him, it's important that one, we have hudur al-qalb, we reflect and contemplate about what we're saying. Also, we believe in what is comprised in that dua from the matters of aqeedah. Likewise, a person understands the meaning. A person understands the meaning of what they are saying. So the Shaykh, he said, and this is authentic, ikhwan, the hadith is authentic. The hadith, this dua is authentic. Shaykh al-Albani yusahihu kadhalik, he declares it to be authentic. He said, كل الناس يقولون هذا. So all of the people, they say this, maybe they say it because it's shorter than the others. Naam. And even some of the scholars, they say that this is the best of the opening supplications. Why? Because it comprises of a thana, praise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, لكن لا يفهم معناه إلا القليل. But only few understand its meaning. سبحانك اللهم. The meaning of سبحانك اللهم. How perfect you are, O Allah. Even ikhwan in English, to be honest with you, to translate it and convey the meaning in Arabic is sa'b jidd. Because what does it mean? أي أسبحك والتسبيح. You are saying تنزيه الله عز وجل. You are saying glorified is Allah. Glorified is Allah. And He is exonerated. Glorified is Allah and I exonerate Him. I free Allah from everything that is not befitting to Him. So when you translate it in English, if you were to just say, glorified is Allah. Na'am, you would have to translate it in with numerous sentences. Glorified is Allah, and I exonerate you from all that is not befitting to you. That's the meaning of it. Subhanaka, that Subhanaka Allahumma, it means that. أي أسبحك والتسبيح, the meaning of a tasbih, تنزيه الله عز وجل عن كل ما لا يليق به. You're exonerating Allah, you're freeing Allah from everything that is not befitting to Him. وَالَّذِي لَا يَلِيقُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, two things are not befitting to Allah. Tasbih is the glorification of Allah, where the servant exonerates and frees Allah from all that which is not befitting to Him. And then he said, two things are not befitting to Allah. The first is what? لَا يَلِيقُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِمَّا مُمَاثَلَةُ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. The first is what? Resemblance to the creation. That is not befitting to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we've done this in Sharh al-Sunnah. We've done this in Sharh al-Sunnah. This is revision from Sharh al-Sunnah, the explanation of the creed. And we spoke about it numerous times. It is not befitting for Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Shaykh, he said, the first thing is not befitting to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Resemblance to the creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah Azza wa Jalla. The second, وَإِمَّا النَّقْصِ فِي صِفَاتِهِ. The second, any deficiencies in His attributes. So the first thing which is not befitting to Allah, resemblance to the creation. The second, any deficiency in His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, فَكَأَنَّكَ تَقُولُ. Look, ikhwan, when you just say subhanaka, before we go on, why is it subhanaka? Why is it always mansoob? Why is it always with a fatha? Subhanaka. Why don't you ever say subhanuka with a dhamma upon the noon of Abdul Rahman? Limada. Why? Why is it always? Whenever you say subhanallah, look, subhanallah, the noon has a fatha. Subhanaka. The noon has a fatha. It's always mansoob. Why? Na'am. It's maf'ul what? Mutlaq. Usabbihu subhanak. A meaning, again, the meaning, I glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla and exonerate Him from everything that is not befitting to Him. But look, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, ka'annaka taqul. When you say this one statement, subhanaka, it's as if you're saying, unazzihuka ya Rabbi, an mumathalati al-makhluqin wa an naqsi sifatik. Allahu Akbar. It's as if you are saying, I declare you to be far above and free, my Lord, of resemblance to the creation and from any deficiency in your attributes. SubhanAllah. Look at that one statement. Imagine you open the prayer, you say Allahu Akbar. Remember Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, you are saying Allah is the greatest. In reality, everything of the dunya should disappear in front of your eyes. Ad-dunya yani tazul bayna aynik. Because the dunya in reality is yani haqira, it is worthless. But then after that you say, if you choose to open with this, subhanaka Allahumma. Look at that, ikhwan. So it's as if the person is saying, I declare you to be far above and free, my Lord, of resemblance to the creation and from any deficiency in your attributes. That's why the one who understands what he is saying or she is saying when they are praying, imagine that type of prayer. Imagine somebody, their heart, they have khushu'. They focus, they concentrate in their prayer. They understand, يَفْهَمُونَ مَا يَقُولُونَ. They understand what they are doing and what they are saying. And they implement the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They fulfill the wajibat and the obligations and the pillars. Naam. And the sunnah. And before that, the conditions before the prayer. Imagine that type of salah. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. No doubt, the one who prays this prayer, completes it, it will prevent from fahisha, illicit immoral acts, and evil. Showing again the importance of what? The prayer, and the importance of knowledge. That's why he's saying, وَبِحَمْدِكَ, and I praise you. Here the ba is used in the Arabic language, فَالْبَا هُنَا لِلْمُصَاحَبَ وَالْجَمْعِ.
It is for association and addition, meaning what? Which means I add in addition to my glorification of you. وَأَضُمُّ إِلَى تَسْبِيحِكَ وَتَنْزِيهِكَ. So in addition to my glorification of you and me exonerating you and freeing you of all imperfections, أَنَّنِي أَحْمَدُكَ لِلصِّفَاتِ الْكَامِلَةِ, I praise you on account of your perfect attributes. Allahu Akbar. I praise you on account of your perfect attributes. لأن الله محمود على الصفات الكاملة. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is praised due to His complete and perfect attributes. وعلى فضله وإحسانه الشامل العام. And due to His all-encompassing virtue and kindness and blessings. And the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, Ikhwan, in this you have, when you say Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, you have ithbat, affirmation, and ماذا? Negation. He said, Al-Ithbat wa Tanzeeh. Where's the affirmation? Who can answer that? Where's Jureej? Ghaba? Al-Yawm? Where's the affirmation? Shams? Where's the affirmation here? Fadl? La? Naam? Yes? Where's the affirmation? Hassan, ماذا عندك? The affirmation here, Ikhwan, is found when you say وَبِحَمْدِكَ, and I praise you in addition to what came before it. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ, I praise you. And remember, الحمد هو وصف المحمود بالكمال مع محبتي وتعظيمي. It is praising Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala along with loving Him and glorifying Him. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has perfect attributes. Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Where's the tanzih? The tanzih is Subhanaka, as we mentioned. Na'am. Al-tanzih. Al-nafi. Na'am. So then the Shaykh, he said, and the meaning, Tabaraka ismuka, and blessed is your name, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ. So here we have al-ithbat wa tanzih. And blessed is your name, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said. Here, قال العلماء معناها أن البركة تنال باسمك. The scholars, they say that blessing is received through your name, meaning the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. تَبَارَكَ, and blessed is what? Ismuka, meaning your name, meaning the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلِهَذَا إِذَا سَمَّ الْإِنسَانِ. And the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, I'll read first, Ikhwan, from الشرح الممتع. الشيخ Ibn Uthaymeen mentions, أَمْثِلَ مِنْ بَرَكَةِ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Examples of the blessings of the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Listen, in the Sifat al-Salah, he mentions what? He said, وَلِهَذَا إِذَا سَمَّ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَى الضَّبِيحَ حَلَّتْ. If a person says Bismillah when they are slaughtering the animal that there is lawful for them to eat. وَإِذَا ذَبَحَهَا وَلَمْ يُسَمِّي. But if a person slaughters an animal but they do not say Bismillah, حَرُمَتْ, it is unlawful, it is forbidden. لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, due to the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكِرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Do not eat that which Allah's name was not mentioned upon it. Meaning, do not eat that which was not slaughtered. Bismillah. In the name of Allah. وَقَوْلَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And likewise, the saying of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, مَا أَنْهَرَ الدَّمُ وَذُكِرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَكُلْ. The statement of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and eat the animals if the name of Allah has been mentioned when slaughtering them. Then eat it. فَالْكُلْ. انظر يعني البركة. Look at the blessings. هذه الشاة إذا ذبحتها ولم تسمي. This sheep, if you slaughtered it and you never said Bismillah, then it's considered to be what? It's a dead. It's like a dead animal. It's unlawful for you. It's impure. خبيثة, حرام. You can't eat it. وإذا قلت, if you say Bismillah when slaughtering it, صارت, it becomes, now it has been slaughtered, it is tahira, it is pure, and it is lawful, halal, هذه من البركة. No doubt this is from the blessings. Also, إخوان, from the blessings. من البركة أيضا. Of saying in the name of Allah. See people, we should never underestimate the importance of these things. من البركة أيضا وتبارك اسمك, and blessed is your name, is what the Prophet ﷺ alluded to in his statement. لو أن أحدكم إذا أتى أهله قال بسم الله. If one of you comes to his family and says, in the name of Allah, when having relations with one's wife, اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا. اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا فقضي بينهما ولد لم يضره شيطان أبدا. If a person says this dua when going to their families, O Allah, distance the devil from us and distance us from the devil. Distance the devil from that which you have bestowed upon us. And likewise, distance us from the devil. If Allah has decrees that they have a child, the devil will never harm that child ever. Look at the blessings of the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If any of you having relations with his wife, say in the name of Allah, O Allah, protect us from the shaitan and protect what you bestow upon us, meaning from children, from the shaitan. And if it is decreed that they should have a child, then the shaitan will never be able to harm that child. Is this upon the man and the woman or just the men? Man yujib, subhanallah ikhwan. If there's no answers, Allahul musta'an wa alayhi tuklan. Wallahul musta'an. Is this upon the man and the woman or just the men? Kilahuma. We have both of them. Everyone agree with that? Sheikh Mahajir said he agrees with it. Shams. You disagree. What do you say? Just for the man. Huh? Just for the man. Mother Inda Naji.
I say man. For the man.
Just for the man? So this dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allahumma jannibna shaytana wa jannib shaytana ma razaqtana. Khalas, I'll leave it for you for next week. Bring the answer with your dalil. Not just an answer. Khaliyan min al-dalil. Inti bid dalil. And I'll tell you that there was a right answer, there was a wrong answer. No doubt, اختلف العلماء, but alhamdulillah, نريد أن نرجح بناء على الدليل. We want to declare something to be correct upon the دليل. So now, ولهذا قال العلماء, تبارك اسمك, and your name is blessed. The scholars, they say, إن البركة تنال باسمك. That verily blessing is attained through your name. And إخوانا, I'll close with, inshallah, this few more benefits. The Shaykh, he mentions, أمثلة من بركة اسم الله. The Shaykh said, أيضاً إذا سميت على الطعام لم يشارك الشيطان فيه. If you say Bismillah before eating, if you say Bismillah when eating, the shaytan will not partake when you eat. He will not share in your food. He will not share in your food. If you say Bismillah when eating, from the blessings of the name of Allah, the shaytan will not share it with your food. Some people, they never become full when they eat. Maybe one of the reasons, wallahu a'lam, is because they never said Bismillah. Some people, they may not get nutrition or benefit from their food. Maybe it's because they never said Bismillah. No, none of us should underestimate the importance of saying Bismillah and the blessings of the name of Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Likewise, from the blessings of the name of Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, إِذَا سَمَّيْتَ عَلَى الْوُضُورِ, a person says Bismillah before making wudu. عَلَى قَوْلْ مَنْ يَرَى وَجُوبَ التَّسْمِيَةِ. Some of the scholars, they say it's an obligation to say Bismillah before you make wudu. Naam, and if you do not say Bismillah, then your wudu is not correct. And others, they say that it is highly recommended, not obligatory. So therefore, if a person said Bismillah, then no doubt his wudu would be complete, and more complete than the one who did not say Bismillah. And these are some examples of saying Bismillah. And I'm sure if the brothers and the sisters went away and looked into the matter, they would be able to mention other examples of the blessing of the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, saying Bismillah. Of saying Bismillah. Naam. When you enter the deceased in the grave, what do you say, Abdul Rahim?
When you enter the deceased in the grave?
Yes.
You say Bismillah wa ala, Bismillah wa ala militi Rasulullah.
Naam. You say Bismillah. Look, so many examples. Even when lowering the deceased into the grave. Allahu Akbar. Ikhwan, we'll stop there because atalna nawan ma, even though we still have some of this dua to explain. However, alhamdulillah, gives us an opportunity for what? To memorize it for next lesson. If we haven't memorized it, inshallah, to memorize it for the next lesson. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. All of us, we have from today until next Thursday, inshallah. We have a whole week for this is shorter, so it should be easier for us. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. So alhamdulillah. So inshallah, I'll put up the Arabic so that we have the Arabic if somebody doesn't have it. But like I said, many of the phones, they have applications where you can even look, find the dua, you can hear it, you can read it along with it. Alhamdulillah, technology. Any questions? Barakallahu feekum. Naam.